All right, now back to Dave and Anne with Gretchen Saffels and those rotten identity roots that can alter what we believe about ourselves.
A lot of those come out in our theology of it. Those are exposed yeah. whenever we start to realize, wait, I thought that was going to satisfy me. And, you know, our life is constant sanctification. God is constantly working, chiseling at our hearts, uprooting these rotten beliefs, you know, thinking that I have to be perfect all the time or God's going to be disappointed in me and he's going to abandon me. That's a rotten root. And going back to the panic attacks, because you mentioned that yeah. about the plane, and I know that there's somebody listening who is dealing with that. It's so common. And I had a lot of rotten roots that I was believing at that time. I felt like I had to do everything and I had to do it well. So I was a young mom, had a one-year-old. We were taking him on a mission trip overseas because I can do it. I've got this under control. And I was working constantly. We actually were about to have a foreign exchange student come live with us. I mean, we Gretchen, were doing it all.
You were doing everything.
We were doing it all. And they were good things.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, if it's a good thing, then that's a yes. But that's a lie.
I'm serving Jesus and I have to do it all. If I don't, what?
Then it's not going to happen. Then things are going to fall apart. And that's such a lie. We begin to think that we are the savior, that if we're not doing the work, if we're not reaching out to people, if we're not writing or speaking or sharing or encouraging, then how's God going to get it done? Right?
Yeah.
And that can easily slip into our thinking or, you know, leading Bible study at church. If I'm not doing it, who's going to do it? If I'm not volunteering, who's going to volunteer?
That's so interesting. I was a young mom and I was leading and started our women's ministry at our church. And I really felt God was saying, I want you to take this time away and I want you to focus on your boys. I think CJ had just turned 13, and so our youngest was 8. And I was telling this woman, she was a mentor of mine, she came into town, and I said, I just feel like if I don't do this, it's going to fall apart. And she looks at me and she said, wow, you must really be something.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? She goes, if God can't replace you, you must really be something. I was so convicted. I mean, the next day I was like, I'm done. And it was so sweet because I remember my 8-year-old saying, Mom, so are you not doing that? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working moms. Like, we're all called and we're doing things that God's called us to. But I remember him saying, thank you for doing that for me. I was like, oh,
wow,
my goodness. And so I think that's important, though, to realize, like, God's got you and God can fulfill these things, even if you're not there or doing it.
And I'll just add, watching Anne in that moment, she was building an incredible women's ministry. I was watching her. I was like, you are an incredible leader of women. You have thousands of women mobilized in our church for this ministry. And then I can see what it's doing to our family. I can see what it's doing to you. I can see what the boys used to say. All mom does is walk around the kitchen with a phone in her hand. They said that. And back then it was a corded phone. So we literally got an extended cord that would go like 20 feet in our kitchen. I'm like, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
The next day she quit. I mean, way to go.
And you know what? Nobody replaced me for a while.
Yeah.
Because we're all young moms. We're all busy. People are working. And so, but, I mean, it still later thrived, and God's in control of that stuff.
God didn't need us.
God kept it going.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing when we shift our mentality.
It's amazing what God can do without us.
Exactly. And we realize he invites us in. He's not going,
it's a gift.
If you stop doing this, it's going to fall apart. How will those people come to know me? How will they? But it's so easy in ministry to start thinking, and just life in general, that if I don't do this, this is not going to happen.
How did you get out of the panic attack? I mean, is that something that a decision to change the way you thought and find life changed
years,
that?
Years of decisions.
Yeah. Mm.
Years. This is not something that just, and sometimes God does this miraculous work in somebody's life. And, you know, that just all of a sudden, you know, they just, it clicks and they walk in freedom from addiction, from panic, from anxiety. But that's not what it was for me. It was this slow uprooting, and it felt like things were just unraveling. all of my its that I thought I had, you know, oh, I'm in ministry. That's my it. Like God's providing. I've got this great marriage. That's my it. I have a little boy that I love. That's my it. And, you know, I'm healthy. That's my it. But then all these things started to just unravel. My health started to unravel.
I want to read some of these rotten roots because I think every listener will be able to relate to some or one of these. One of them is, what others think of you is more important than what God thinks of you. Mm. Oh, man. Another is, you have to mask your hurt with a happy face. Mm. True beauty is determined by your weight, skin color, and size. Another one is, in order to be successful, you must be constantly productive and never take a break.
Yep.
I mean, I think all of us can relate to one of those at one point or another in our lives.
Yes.
For sure.
And when I was writing those and pinpointing them, it was because those are all the ones that I've believed.
Yeah.
That's what I've struggled with. I struggled with that when I was in the throes of panic attacks, when I walked through an eating disorder. All of those rotten roots, they eventually manifest in our actions and in the things that we are doing. Our thoughts and the things that we are believing will actually change how we act, the decisions that we make. And so we want our thoughts to be rooted in God's word. We want that to be what comes out in our lives. And so it's God's grace to expose these rotten roots.
Mm. Well, we're going to continue this conversation, but if you had to do one application for our listeners, what would you say?
It's amazing what some people can accomplish without any help
amazing
from God.
Amazing universe points to an amazing God. At the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is The Point. This April, scientists confirmed the dimensions of the Bernardinelli-Bernstein Comet. It's the single largest comet ever recorded.
You're listening to WMIE. Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville.
Hey, what's got my wife so stressed out?
The invitation list for the baby shower. I don't know whether to even invite you, let alone all the other husbands and boyfriends.
Get this.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
I regret society requires that I have to preach this sermon again today. I had taken it out of this series on understanding eschatology, but then something happened, and I received a great revelation on the topic, and the Lord led me to include this sermon with the others. But I don't want people to think that I am angry or against gay people in any way, because I am not. But you all know me, and you know I'm an excitable preacher, and you know that I preach against sin every week. So I'd have to beg you not to take me out of context, because you guys know me. But please don't take what I say here today in any meaning, or if you're watching, or if this is being forwarded to you, or if I'm on the 5 o'clock news, don't think that I don't like gay people, because I do. A fair amount of my friends are gay. What I'm angry about is the change that's taken place in this country, where the devil's got away with deceiving people into believing that sin is no longer sin, or that what was condemned in the Old Testament is now perfectly fine in the New Testament. So I am not angry at homosexuals. Again, listen to all my sermons. Everything I've ever preached is online for 12 years, every sermon. Don't take me out of context. And as we get started this morning, I'm going to tell you the ending from the beginning before we get started. The great revelation for me in this sermon was that indoctrinating children into the homosexual lifestyle is prophetic. And it's another sign that Jesus' return is near. And I never knew that. I never knew that. And I wasn't going to preach this. Let me say that again. Indoctrinating children into the homosexual lifestyle is prophetic. That is, Jesus gave it as a sign that you'll know that his return is near. Now, the days of Lot. I had no opening. I wanted to say something before we got started here today. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Let me start reading in verse 26. Luke, it's the third gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 17, verse 26. As in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Key word is destroy. Notice it doesn't even say kill. Interesting word there. It's destroy. Now, that's how we traditionally read this account out of the book of Matthew. But as you can see in the Gospel of Luke, you see Luke, the beloved physician, as Paul called him, Luke was a stickler for detail. And he doesn't contradict the other gospel writers. He just adds details that the other writers left out. That doesn't make him contrary to the others. You have to take the Bible in pieces and add them together like a jigsaw puzzle. So now here, Luke adds this to Jesus' discourse. Verse 28, same place, Luke chapter 17, verse 28, starts with the word likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, likewise, that is oblivious to the judgment, the same as they were. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, I said, oblivious to the judgment of God, the inhabitants of the earth were caught unprepared by the flood. Such a state of unpreparedness will exist when Jesus returns. That's why it's the word likewise. Like it was in Noah's day when they were caught unprepared, going about their own business, not giving a rip as to what age they live in, not understanding that Jesus' return is near due to all the signs. Likewise, like it was then. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. Now, Lot, if you remember, was Abraham's nephew. Abraham's brother, his brother passed away, Abraham's brother's son. Brother passed away, Abraham took him with him when he traveled. Okay, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. Now you see, Lot and Abraham, their tribes were getting so big, they were getting kind of jealous. Lot had a problem with Abraham, and Abraham said to Lot, go wherever you want, and I'll go the other direction. Because they had so many, their herds were huge. And Lot was the nice looking, Sodom was the beautiful looking land. Lot goes, I'll go that way. And Abraham goes, all right, then I'll go the other way. So they split and they went their own ways. That's who Lot is. So likewise, like Noah, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day, notice, not even a day later, On the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And there's that word again, destroyed them all. Now, so far, we've looked with great detail the days of Noah, and we've compared them to our present age, like Jesus instructs us to. You want to know when I'm coming back? Go on back and look and see what happened in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:11 says the whole world was full with Hamas, or violence. Everyone was violent, killing each other. So now he tells us also to go back to the time of Lot. So we got to ask ourselves, what characterized the days of Lot? And what was their downfall? Now, let's go and answer that question. Turn with me to your first book of your Bible, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground, and he said, "Here now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house, spend the night, wash your feet, then you can rise early and go your way." And they said, "No, we will spend the night in the open square." Verse 3, but he insisted strongly. Okay, notice, Lot knew something was wrong with the city of Sodom. He knew these people were evil. He insisted strongly. He knew to get these guys off the street. Don't spend the night out here in the street. He insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Me and Carol were laughing about this last night. You know, these guys, the night before, Abraham made them, what would we say? Elmer Fudd would call it a wig of wham. I mean, here goes these guys. They go 37 billion years without eating. Last night, Abraham makes them a leg of lamb. And now the next day, Lot's making them New York strip. These guys had it made. Imagine that. Go all the, who knows if these guys ever ate. Is there a kitchen up in heaven? I don't know. Do angels sit around eating steak all the time? I don't know either. But back-to-back nights, Abraham rushed to make them meat for all of you vegans and vegetarians. He eats night before. They part to go their own ways. Abraham pleads with God. He says, "If there's 10 righteous people, will you spare the city?" God goes, "Yep, I'll spare it. You find 10 people in here that fear me, and I'll spare the city." They couldn't find 10. God goes his way. Two angels go into town. Lot sees them coming in and goes, "Rut-row. I better watch out over these guys before the city of Sodom sees them." So that's the backdrop. He insisted strongly, so they turned into him, they entered his house. He made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now, okay, let me open my Bible here to read this whole verse here. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both the old and the young, notice that, the young, you catch that? Both the old and the young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. So let me ask the question, where do you suppose the young learned this? Where'd they learn it? You see, they're indoctrinating children as we speak right here in this country each and every day. Friends, History repeats itself. History repeats itself. Seems like every week in this series we've been at, something happens out here in the world that gives us a fresh new perspective of a timely truth that Jesus is teaching. Right before this, we had COVID, right? Another sign that Jesus is coming back is when the whole world is full of pestilence. And we laughed at that because it wasn't happening in this country. Ebola or whatever else. Or the Black Plague you read about in your history book. We had to deal with this firsthand. Then it was the government trying to force you to receive a vaccine in order to buy or sell. And COVID, I said COVID, modern day pestilence. Now it's this. The new bill in Florida prohibiting schools from teaching kindergarten through grade 3 students about homosexuality. Here it is. Bill number 1557. It's titled Parental Rights in Education. States that lessons about sexual orientation are banned outright in kindergarten through third grade. It also prohibits lessons in other grades unless they are, quote, age appropriate and developmentally appropriate. Opposition to the bill has been fierce. Democrats who have derisively dubbed it the Don't Say Gay Bill says that the law, this bill, if it's passed, would stigmatize marginalized students and lead to bullying and attacks. They say, their argument is, can you imagine a child who's questioning their sexual orientation at a young age and then being shut down by a teacher who says, well, law says I can't say anything about it. 5 years old? How many of you at 5 years old were questioning your sexual orientation? What were you doing at 5 years old? Right. On my favorite show, Fringe, Peter Bishop says at 8 years old, I wanted to be a brontosaurus. And now they say this is harmful for children at 5 years old. You're not going to question nothing at 5 years old. You are not ready for something like that at 5 years old. But now what kills me is that if there's a bill or a need for a bill, there must be a problem. Right? There's no need for a bill if there's no problem. They didn't just conjure this up on their own. There had to be a problem that's going on. And the problem is they're indoctrinating young people into this lifestyle. And Jesus said, when you see that, recognize, again, smell the coffee. Just like the government forcing you to receive a mark to buy or sell. Just like the world full of COVID, you'll know and understand when this kind of thing that happened in Sodom happens here and around the world, then you'll know and understand. The young and the old. Again, verse 4. Now, before they laid down the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both the old and young, all the people from every quarter, that is one translation says down to the very last man, surrounded the house. And they called Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them carnally. So what characterized the days of Lot? Homosexuals demanding their rights. They demanded the right to rape these angels. It is what it is. It doesn't mean I hate you. I'm trying to tell you, you've been snowed by the devil. To think and to take something that was sin and turn it into something good, you're not the one that establishes good from bad. God is the one that does that, not you. You don't establish it. You fall in or you fall out. The word of God is the truth. Let God be true, Paul said, and every man a liar. You fall in line or you fall out and you fall away. And if you fall away, John will say, your name was never in this book anyway to begin with. You don't cross this finish line in faith, bow the knee to Almighty God, call him Lord, believe in his word. Don't let these evil people out here today corrupt you and destroy you and deceive you. God is the one that establishes what is good and what is not. Verse 6, so Lot went out to meet them through the doorway, and he shut the door behind them and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason that they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said to him, stand back. Then they said, this man came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than we will with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot, and they came near to break down the door. Boy, their complaint speaks volumes, doesn't it? You keep acting like a judge. Don't you hear that all over the world today? Or that verse that the defenders of sin know and can recite and then have memorized. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You're an atheist, but you believe that verse. Same thing here. Why are you acting as a judge over it? It's almost comical. But the men reached out their hands. I'm in verse 10, Genesis 19, 10. The men reached out their hands, and they pulled Lot into the house with them, and they shut the door. And they struck, that's the angels, they struck the men that were at the doorway of the house with blindness. Anyone here ever seen a horror movie, The Night of the Living Dead? Can you imagine this? Here's these guys looking like Frankenstein, walking around. The whole city, down to the last man and child. All the children were gay because they got taught it at Sodom Elementary. You gonna put that bumper sticker on your car, friend? My child is an honor student at Sodom Elementary. That's where they learned it. Or they got a... No, never mind. All right, they got adopted. And they learned it that way. I take my hat off to Vladimir Putin. You see, he won't let Americans adopt any of their children there. Is what it is. Why? Speaks for itself. Even Vladimir Putin has got more scruples in his finger now regarding Americans adopting Russian children so that they don't get corrupt and go around going, The judgment of God is coming. People are going to have to give an account for this. If you mislead a child like this, you're going to pay for this. Jesus said it'd be better off for you if a huge millstone, that's one of the big cement things that holds up 520 over the Indian River. You're better off if you had one of those strapped around your neck and Captain Jim went and dumped you at the 8-mile marker out there. You'd be better off that way than what I'm going to do to you if you hurt or deceive or mislead a child. I say, repent. It's not too late. If you've done that, if you've been snowed, join the club. We all have been deceived at some point in our life. You see, I pray that God would clear the smoke and you'd be able to see clearly that this evil country and these politicians,